Good morning, everyone. It is an honor to be back here again this morning, and this is a beautiful day, and we thank God that we got to worship Him freely, without worries and disruptions. And thank you to all of you for your love for the Lord and for your dedications, for your time to be in His presence in this morning. And may the Lord be with you and bless all of you according to His will. As of this morning, let us reflect our heart and mind in the passage of Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 through 10. It reads, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the craving of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not for yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." And look at the historical context of this passage. It is a part of a letter written by Apostle Paul to the early Christian community in Ephesus. At the time, the city of Ephesus was a major city in Asia Minor, known for its influential church and strategic location. It was a prominent hub for trade, culture, and religion. The city was home to the Temple of Artemis, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, and it housed a diverse population with various religions and beliefs. The early church in Ephesus lived in an environment filled with diverse culture and spiritual influence. Paul had previously visited Ephesus and spent considerable time there teaching the gospel. He wrote this letter during his imprisonment, likely in Rome, to offer instructions, encouragement, and theological clarity to the believers so that their faith will be stable and that they were not confused about what they were believing. And what he was instructing and teaching, it still speaking to us in our day now. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, tense reveals the transformations brought about by God's grace and addresses humanity's conditions before and after receiving the salvations offered through Jesus Christ. The passage explains the gospel clearly, fully, and powerfully. And in these 10 verses, we came to acknowledge of who were we, what did God do, and why did he do it. This is not merely motivational text. It is an uplifting resurrection text that brings good news to all of us. Verse 1 states, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin." This is because we follow the way of this world, the rule of the kingdom of the air, and our own sinful desires. And this kind of spiritual death that the scripture talk about is the conditions of every person before coming to faith in Christ. It means living according to the desire of the flesh and being enslaved by the power of this world without life-giving relationship with God. In this spiritually dead state, we do not have the ability to save ourselves, no matter how hard we try, no matter what law we follow to. We could be able to do it on our own effort. And this condition is contrasted with the life offered through Jesus Christ. And it tells us that all of us once lived among them, which this includes the moral person, the religious leaders, the pastor, everyone. That once we live among those things. But before Christ, we were by nature children of wrath. Before Christ, we were by nature children of wrath. This is sobering. For those of us who have walked with Christ for decades, this text keeps us humble. We were not always where we are now. If God had not intervened, we would still be spiritually dead. Even as a Christian, have you experienced a season when you start reading the Bible, start praying, and drifted from God in your heart? Did you begin to feel empty, lost, or unsure of which directions to go? In verses 4 through 5, Paul describes God's interventions. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgression, it is by grace you have been saved. We were dead, but God moved. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy. This was not because we improved. This was not because we deserve it. This was because of who he is. This is pure love. May we recognize that we were once dead in our transgressions and sins, and that it is solely by God's grace that we have been made alive. This awareness fosters a spiritual of humility, reminding us that our worth is not self-driven by giving, but given by God. So approach each day with gratitude, acknowledging God's mercy and grace in transforming your life. All your saints understand this deeply. The longer you walk with Christ, the more you realize, if it were not for grace, where would I be? I did not fully understand this myself until I reached this stage of life, even though I have been Christian for many years. We are called to reflect this love and mercy in our relationships. Seek to act with compassion and understanding towards others. Be a tangible expression of the grace you have received. Let your actions and words radiate kindness, understanding that everyone is in need of mercy. In verses 5 through 7, Paul refers that God made us alive with Christ, raised us up with Him, seated us with Him in the heavenly place. This is union with Christ. When Christ died, our sin was judged. And when Christ rose, we were given life. When Christ was exalted, we were given new position. This means our salvation is secure. Our identity is settled. Our future is certain. And there are nothing that we have to be, that we should be doubt about. There should be fear, or there should be worries about our salvation. Your hope does not rest in your strength, your consistencies, or even your longevity in the faith. It rests in Christ's finished work. Understanding that we have been raised up and seated with Christ offers a new perspective on our identity. So embrace this identity as a child of God, allowing it to influence yourself, view, and interactions. Let this confidence guide your decisions and interactions. Learning on the awareness of assurance of God's love and purpose in your life. The truth that it is by grace you have been saved through faith is foundational. Share these measures with those around you. Testify to the power and sufficiency of God's grace. Encourage others to put their trust in Christ, offering hope and acceptance rather than judgment. As we are all recipients of God's unearned favor. So salvation is by grace, through faith, not for ourselves, not by works, so that no one may boast. We are not superior to one another. If faith is described as a gift, this eliminates pride. And in verse 10, Paul concludes the passage with purpose. For we are God's handwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The phrase, for we are His workmanship, this word means masterpiece or handiwork. Brothers and sisters, you are not an accident. You are not forget it. You are not finished. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. Notice the order. We are not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. Even in the later years of life, there are works prepared for us, expressed through the gift God has given us. These may include prayer, monitor younger believers, offering encouragement, showing generosity, and more. As long as we are on this earth, there are prepared works for us to walk. Actively seek our opportunity to serve others, allowing God's love to be evident through your actions, whether in your community, workplace, or home. Commit to be a servant-hearted and faithful presence, knowing that your work contributes to God's greater plan. Some may feel regret over past sins, fear about the future, physical weakness, concern about legacy. According to the passage, that's not God intended for us. Your standing with God does not weaken because of your background or your past. In fact, the longer you walk with Him, the more clearly His grace shines. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 remind us about our transgressions and say, but God intervened, we were made alive, we were saved by grace, we were created for a purpose. If you are in Christ today, rejoice. If someone hearing this is still spiritually dead, the same God who spoke life then can speak life now. Salvation is not self-improvement. It is resurrection. And resurrection belongs to God. We are called to live transformed lives that reflect the depth and riches of God's grace. By embodying these truths, we become living testimonies of the gospel, drawing others to the hope and love found in Christ. May the message guide us in our pursuit of a life that honors God and blesses those around us, rooting in the assurance of His everlasting love and grace. Amen.